Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back here with Preservative Talk Radio, engaging the issues of the day in such a weird way. We're going to engage things, yes, on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. I have a guest today. It's Pastor David Whitney of the Institute on the Constitution. You know, I saw an article today. It says our brains were shrinking. No, my brain is shrinking. Not yours. Yours is fine. You are in the air. If you're joining us today, it's because you have a sound mind. You have not succumbed to the pandemic of dementia that's sweeping the globe. And you are here for substantive talk radio that you can think about the issues of the day, not based on the crazy things that are happening in the news, let's say media, in the noise of the mass media. But you're actually here to learn things so that you can equip yourself and you equip your families and be the most intelligent person in the conversation when you're hanging out with your friends. So let's go ahead and go. I'm going to interview my friend. Yes, is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And good morning, Pastor David. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm very pleased to be with you and pleased to come to your audience there in the great and beautiful town of Chattanooga. It's been a couple of years since I visited down there. I had the privilege of going up on Lookout Mountain and viewing the battlefield, and just a wonderful place there, Chattanooga, and a place with a great history.
Well, great, and I thank you for being here. And, of course, as we've talked, that I've said that I wanted you to share with our audience exactly what Institute on the Constitution is. And, again, as I understood, I looked in your map the other day, and I saw that there's somebody in Tennessee that they can connect with. So tell us about IOTC. What is it?
Well, thank you, David. Institute on the Constitution exists to connect Americans with the founders of our country. That is, we want Americans today to have the founders' worldview of law and government, a worldview that is very absent when you look at what's happening in Washington, D.C., as well as what's happening in most of our state capitals. That worldview is not in play almost anywhere in America, and to restore the liberties that we have lost and are continuing to lose, we've got to reconnect with our founders' worldview, and it's pretty simple to connect. You just got to read the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence, and you can see quite clearly our founders believe there is a creator God, the almighty, everlasting God, the God of the Bible. There is a creator God. Secondly, he is the one who created our rights. Our rights are given by God. They don't come from any human source, from any human government. They come from God. And the third thing the Declaration clearly states is that the only purpose for human civil government to exist at all, the only purpose is to secure your God-given rights. And that's amazing when you look at other things that the government's gotten their fingers involved in today, much as of what government does has nothing to do with protecting our God-given rights. In fact, we could easily illustrate with 1,000 illustrations even this morning of ways in which the government violates our God-given rights instead of protecting our God-given rights. And so that argument presented, you know, in the Declaration of Independence, that King George III was no longer legitimately the ruler of a free people in those 13 colonies that became states when they signed the Declaration of Independence. He was no longer the ruler of a free people because he had violated the laws of nature and nature's God. And one of the things that we teach that I think many, many people, especially those who study the Bible, are surprised to discover that our founders' view of law and government, in fact, our birth certificate, which is what the Declaration of Independence is often called, that is rooted in the Bible. And that phrase, the laws of nature and nature's God, point exactly back to the Bible. And folks say, well, wait a minute, it doesn't say the Bible there in the text of the Declaration of Independence. Well, what we teach at Institute on the Constitution is that our founders all read William Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England, every single one of them. In fact, that volume of books actually sold better in the colonies than it did back in Great Britain. And all of our founders knew that Blackstone said there's three forms of law. There is, first of all, the laws of nature. That's, you know, exactly what the Declaration of Independence talks about. And those laws of nature are what God has written on every human heart. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 talk about God writing his law on every human heart, whether they've ever opened the Bible, ever heard of Christianity or not. They know the basic laws, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, and so on. Those are written on their hearts. They know them. Of course, all human beings violate that law of nature that they know. And then Blackstone said the second law is revealed law, which is given to us only in God's Word, the Bible. And so those two categories, the law of nature and revealed law, were what the founders were stating when in the Declaration of Independence they said the laws of nature and of nature's God. That we could expand that to say the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God. Paraphrasing William Blackstone, they were saying, the laws of nature written on your heart, human conscience, human reason, and the Bible are the foundation by which they could say King George III is out of line. King George III has violated God's law, therefore he's not fit to be the ruler of a free people. And the interesting third element of law that Blackstone talks about there is the idea that municipal law, that is man-made law, when men spill ink on paper in a legislature and then they pass it on to the executive, and we say the executive signs it into law, and we know that the judges may weigh in and say, well, it's lawful or it's not constitutional and all that. That whole process of man-made law, Blackstone called municipal law, and he added that municipal law was only valid if it complied with the laws of nature and the laws of revelation, or the laws of nature and nature's God, is what our founders said. So there's only one source of true law, and that's God's Word, the Bible. So teaching that at Institute on the Constitution is a real pleasure because, David, people's eyes open up and they have a light bulb goes on in their head. They say, wow, you mean our founders really believe something like a Roe v. Wade is not law because you can't murder babies in the womb and call it law, and two men can't marry no matter what the Supreme Court's, how much ink they spill on paper, because God's Word defines what marriage is, and no human being can change the definition of marriage and change the laws of the universe, the laws of nature and nature's God. And you know, it's a pleasure, David, to help people understand that, because I think so many people have been lied to by the government-run propaganda system, which we call government schools, and lied to believe that whatever comes out of Washington, D.C., you know, or what comes out of our state capitals, that that is law. And our founders correctly and very vehemently denied that that was the case.
Well, what you've done, you've just described my approach to things on this show. So everybody, David Whitney just said is obviously what I think. What you're going to hear on Preservative Talk Radio is based upon what he said, and my ministry, my call, is to take the issues of the day and take that perspective and feed it to you that way. And what he just said was so profound. I know there's brains that are just right now ringing like crazy because he gave this just pack of truth in 6 minutes. 6 minutes just totally filled with truth. And again, this is David Whitney for Institute on the Constitution. He's going to give you some more information in a minute about how to find out about it and get involved in pretty close to your area. So also, David, I want to say is yesterday I kind of recapped the State of the Union address. But before what I did that, I actually looked back to President George Bush's State of the Union address in 2007. And watch this. I know you're going to cringe because you probably don't remember him saying this. But he says, each of us are guided by our own convictions, and to these we must stay faithful. Now, I challenge that. I think if your convictions are wrong, you need to change them. But it says, yet we're all held to the same standards, and listen to this, called to the same, serve the same good purposes. Now, this is George W. Bush's perspective in 2007 of the purpose of government here. He says, to extend this nation's prosperity, to spend the people's money wisely. Okay, I keep that in the context of what you just said. To extend this nation's prosperity, to spend the people's money wisely. And look what the current president of the United States said. He said, my duty and the sacred duty of every elected official in this chamber is to defend Americans, to protect their safety, their families, their communities, and their right to the American dream. So, I mean, as far as I could, do you see the difference in those two perspectives?
Yeah.
What do you think?
And it's a huge difference, sadly, like I said, that the American view, what we call the American view, there is a creator God, our rights come from him, and the sole purpose of human civil government is to protect those God-given rights. That view is not in play, obviously, by Bush back a few years ago, and obviously by Trump even today, although we are been blessed not to have the Hildebeest in the White House, but nonetheless, what we do see is that they do not understand what government is truly about. In fact, I would argue they don't understand the basic contract that was formed by our founders, not only in 1776 when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, but then when they crafted our Constitution in 1787 and then ratified that Constitution. Basically, a contract was created between we the people, who were the creators of this system of government. We the people hired the civil government to do a specific task, and that task is to protect and defend our God-given rights. There's no issue of prosperity in that agreement, in that contract. There's no issue about making the world safe for democracy or any of these other crazy things that have us fighting wars all over the world and spending billions and trillions of dollars to do things that are completely contrary to God's law in so many ways. But all of that roots back with the fact that Americans have lost their understanding of what our founders' vision and worldview was for human civil government.
Okay, well, if you look at the way the current president of the United States speaks, he speaks in some pretty simple terms. And I actually connected to defend Americans was to protect that right of life, liberty, and property. Life, liberty, or quoting John Locke, they said, in the pursuit of happiness, which was a property right. So actually, if you kind of dissect his statement, he was actually in his simple sort of speak way, actually tracking the Declaration of Independence, which is just completely contrary. I mean, President Bush just totally, totally left it, just completely left the precept. Okay, before we go on to any other conversations, I want you to tell us about how do people find out about IOTC, and also the very fact that you're going to have your first Friday is going to be tomorrow. I think this is a good time that we're having this discussion because you can get people to tap into that. And then I want you to tell them about what they've got available in this area.
Yes, and I'm very excited to do that. You see, at Institute on the Constitution, we put together materials to help Americans do what our vision is of connecting with their founders' worldview. We have a United States Constitution course, which is kind of our foundational course, where they will learn the philosophy, the worldview of our founders, and then walk through so they have a working knowledge of the Declaration of Independence and then a working knowledge of our United States Constitution, all seven articles of that, as well as the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, and then the subsequent 17 amendments following the Bill of Rights, which is essential if we're going to restore our country to that founder's view and that founder's purpose, that we understand what the contract is. It's kind of like if you go into the repair shop and take your car in, they don't let you leave that shop until you sign a document, and sometimes you might not read the details of that document, but that document is your basic contract with the auto repair shop. You say, well, I want you to change the oil and give the car a tune-up. So if you come back at the end of the day, and instead of just doing a tune-up and, change the oil, they've replaced your transmission, and you look at the bill, and it's $5,000. You say, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not paying this. I didn't agree to this. It wasn't part of the contract. In other words, unless that contract had been amended, the repair shop gave you a call and said, hey, look, your transmission's shot, and here's what it's going to cost, and you agreed to the amendment of that contract, you don't have to pay that $5,000. So you might have to drag the car company, the auto company into court to get your car back or whatever, but the court would look at what? They would look at that contract and say, what did you both agree to? What was on paper? And what were the details of that contract? And if you signed the contract without reading the details, you're bad. But if the contract did not allow the auto shop to change your transmission without your clear permission, then the auto shop would be the one that would be the loser, and you wouldn't be paying that $5,000. Well, the problem is most Americans have never read and studied the contract that we the people have made in creating our civil government. So we have a course called our U.S. Constitution course, and folks can take that live. There's a host that we have around the country. There's a host there in Tennessee. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But also, what we encourage people to do, because this isn't rocket science. You don't have to be a brain surgeon or whatever to conduct our courses. We've made our courses a turnkey. That is, anyone can take this off the shelf and gather a group of people together in their living room or down in the church or even, some civic center, whatever, someplace they can gather together fellow citizens and they can conduct our course. All of the lectures on DVD. The person hosting the course is given a detailed manual about how to do that, how to handle the questions and how to really help the students come away with a working knowledge of our Declaration, our Constitution, and our Bill of Rights. And if folks want to avail themselves of that course, they can go to our website, and that website is The American View, all one word, theamericanview.com, and we say theamericanview.com because that's what our founders held to. There is a Creator God. Our rights come from Him. The purpose of government, defend those God-given rights. So if they go to theamericanview.com, they can take a look at the resources available there, and we encourage people all over the country to take those courses and utilize them to train up the people in their community. A grassroots movement all across America is what's taking place, and what we need is in every community of America, citizens doing this, because you're not going to get it from the government-run schools. No. They don't want you to understand our founders' worldview. They have a vested interest in not allowing you to understand that worldview, because if you do, you'll begin to question whether the public schools really should exist and whether that's the right use of taxpayers' funds. And you might question their job. So they're not going to allow you to even think that thought in the public school system. And you're not going to get it from the mainstream media. They're all bought and paid for. We know that fake news is their venue, but they're not going to tell you the truth because they're part of the system that wants to keep the tyranny going in America, and they profit from that tyranny. They do not profit from liberty. But the people can take liberty back in their own hands anytime they choose. But it begins by an education, and that's where Institute on the Constitution comes in, to enable the citizens of America to get the proper education to restore the government that our founders designed for us, and that is so vital for each of us to be involved in that task. One of the ways you can apply that immediately is as a juror when you are called to jury duty. I know many people, when they're called to jury duty, find, oh, how can I get out of this? Well, we teach a course on the U.S. jury, the duty of the jury to defend the Constitution, that shows you the opposite. The great power you have as a juror to restore proper government to America. And actually, we're doing that as a First Friday seminar that people can tune into online and watch me as I give that lecture tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And again, if you want to sign up for that jury class and take that online, it'll be each first Friday for the first 6 months of the year. And you can contact us again on the web, theamericanview.com, theamericanview.com. Or if you want to call and sign up by phone, you can do that, 1-866-730-9796, extension 2.
Yeah, say that phone number again. So it's 866.
The phone number for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796, extension 2.
Okay, so tomorrow, if they go to AmericanView.com tomorrow, tomorrow, and they can sign up, and they're going to have, basically, it's a, as I understand it, and I've seen it, is a video presentation where they're going to have a live video stream and a speaker, and I'm not sure, you can tell us who the speaker is.
Oh, I'm the speaker.
You're going to be talking about jury and the role of the jury.
That's right. And actually, if they're watching it live, they can actually ask questions online. That we'll do the lecture at the beginning of the evening, and then we'll have a time for a question and answer, both those who are here in the studio as well as those who are joining us online from around the country. So invite people to do that tomorrow night. You need to sign up ahead of 7 o'clock, but if you sign up today or tomorrow, you can join us for that lecture.
Now, is there a cost for tomorrow?
Yes, it's $10.
$10. Now, I want to say to our listening audience, pastors, pay attention. Pastors, pay attention. Who in your church is teaching this? The kids are not learning this in school. The next generation is learning that it's okay for boys to marry boys and that there's no reason to have any love for your country or your neighbor. They're excluding the biblical worldview from everything they're learning. Who's going to teach your church family about this? There are people that are hungry for this. I taught a class, I called it Your God, Yourself, Your Government, the Biblical Principles. This is back 20 years ago. People were starving for it. And they said, what'd you base your curriculum on? I said, I read the Bible. And then, of course, one of our friends is going to be here, a mutual friend of Pastor David and mine is Herb Titus. He's going to be here on Tuesday. Turns out he had written a book called God, Man, and Law, the biblical principles. And so that it was great to know that I was tracking, paralleling such a man of God who knew what he was talking about. Okay, so David, well, thank you for being here today. And actually, so I'm going to set you free. And thank you for coming, because again, folks, I wanted to tell you about this. We're going to be hearing more from Pastor David Whitney as time goes on this broadcast, because he and I are busy doing things that are shaking up the foundations of government that are flawed. And so our goal is to reinstitute a solid foundation and hold the government accountable for doing things so that there will really be a minister of God for our good. So thank you very much for being here with us today, Pastor Whitney.
My pleasure, David, and God bless you in the work that you're doing. And God bless the great state of Tennessee.
Woohoo! Okay, thank you, guys. So we're going to be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned. Stimulate the economy of those who are supporting us through this broadcast. Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back here again with Preservative Talk Radio on this Nuga Radio. And I really enjoy having time with Pastor David Whitney of The American View. You can go to theamericanview.com and you're going to find out more. And I really encourage you to do that. His being here is part of our ministry as Nuga Radio to Nuga Radio land. And those with a sound mind who are under this broadcast area, it's critically important for us to train the next generation. That's why I'm here. You haven't heard radio like this since radio has begun. This is actually like a revival happening. Who else is going to be bringing back the old school ideas, the reality, the truth of what law, government, our responsibility, our religion defined in law as being the duty we owe the Creator? Who else is going to be doing that? Have you heard that anywhere else? You're not even hearing it on religious radio. They kind of hint to it. So the reason I mentioned pastors earlier is because pastors, as you're listening, and sometimes you say, well, you know, I know it's important, but I don't want to spend my time behind the pulpit doing that kind of stuff. Not a problem. Have a comprehensive study. You know what I'm saying? So you do comprehensive Bible studies so that when you're doing a sermon, everybody already knows what you're talking about. They know the basis of what you're talking about. You can motivate them in their behavior because they've got a fundamental, they've got a strong foundation of what the Word of God is. So my word for pastors is to go make a strong foundation of this duty we have. And you know, in Romans chapter 13, it says to submit to every institution of man, or every authority. And in Peter challenges us to be obedient, so to speak. But in our situation, we're not just obedient. We're supposed to be obedient in our country, in our states. That is our responsibility. This system of government is God, us, government. God, us, government. Or God, us, and our delegates. Our police are delegates. Our mayors are delegates. The treasurer, the superintendent of schools, the school board, they are our delegates. It goes in this structure. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. Therefore, make disciples. So we're supposed to be making disciples even in government. How's that? So pastors, we have a duty. You have a duty. The congregation has a duty. I'd recommend you go to AmericanView.com, order their course that you can do. You get a little DVD, you get the curriculum, and you can train yourself to be a subject matter expert so you can be just as profound as those of us here at Nuga Radio. As I was telling you yesterday, that I did some research. I did some research on Dade County and Walker County in Georgia and Jackson County in Alabama and Hamilton County. I didn't look at all the other counties in this area. I just kind of focused as that as a central location at this part of Tennessee. And I tried to say, what is in this Nuga Radio land? What is the education system like? You know, again, I was going back to George W. Bush's State of the Union address from 2007, and he had all these things that he was saying about education, as if the central, or not supposed to be central government, but the government of the United States, rather than the local school board and community, is responsible for the education of your children. he missed it. He didn't understand. He hadn't read the Constitution or something, or he had not been listening to our broadcast. And so I said, well, what's the effect? And when I looked at the effect and I thought, you know what? It is horrible. You don't realize that over 50% in all of those counties I mentioned, over 50% of the children are not making the minimum grade as far as reading, language arts. If you can't do reading, language arts, if you don't have a vocabulary, if you cannot connect concepts by reading, I guess your brain will shrink. I don't know. I don't know what will happen physically. But you're not going to be able to teach yourself all the things that I've been learning every day. Last night, I was reading a document. Look what I'm doing for fun. Regent University Law Review. And it's a 1991 publication. It was on my shelf, so I picked it up and I read it. And they were talking about the idea, and it sounds like I'm laughing. I'm not, but it seems strange to people. Public school chaplains. The constitutional solution to the school prayer controversy. So I read this review in the Regent University Law Review from 1991, and they were telling about how bad the education system was and the immorality, and as you know, boys marrying boys and people thinking wrongs are rights and things like that. And that was 1991. That was a long time ago. So it's gotten worse, and it really hasn't changed. It's just, you know, progressively gotten worse. But one of the things that, as I was reading this, it pointed out that the purpose of education, according to all these courts, and I have this little thing on my outline. I got to figure out which page I'm going to because there's so many pages in this thing. Page 31 of this Regent University Law Review says, it tells us what the courts think is the purpose of of schooling. It says the acknowledged purpose of public education is to inculcate values. Okay, inculcate means it actually did a study on the word. It's sort of like a soldier taking his boot and stomping you into the ground. Inculcate is a strong word. It means taking and with a regimen, forcing education down your children's throat. I mean, that's sort of the tense of or the implication of the word inculcate. The acknowledged purpose of public education is to inculcate values. Thus, indoctrination of students is inevitable. Okay, that doesn't matter what school you go to. There's going to be an indoctrination because that's what they do. The Establishment Clause has become an instrument to exclude religious values from the community values inculcated in public school children. And as I was reading all these court cases over and over and over again, they said that the purpose of schools and school boards is so that the values of the community are communicated to your children. Now, how are you going to communicate the values of the community when I check the Pew Research poll that says 70% of us go to church every week? Every week. That's the every weekers. 70% of us go to church. So if that is the community value, how are you going to inculcate community values and exclude religion? I mean, that's huge. So how do you keep the government from teaching your children religion? They are teaching your children religion. And progressively, as you exclude the Creator, Almighty God of the Bible, as you exclude that, what's going to happen is, what did Jesus say? He says, you clear this house of all these demons, seven worse than before show up. You know what I'm saying? So you've got a vacuum of value. I watched a video today of a 62-year-old teacher who confiscated a phone from a student, and the student physically assaulted the teacher to get his phone back. And now it's being captured on video by one student. At least they were courageous enough to record it. But all these other young men allowed this teenager to assault a 62-year-old. The whole class has not been taught the value of honoring your elders, of honoring your father and mother, and standing and giving glory to an honor to those with gray hair. They haven't been taught that. They are being taught something. Something is going to fill their minds. So for us, what do we do here? It occurred to me that this notion, I never really thought about that, what do you call it? Vouchers. You know, taxpayer voucher money, and people scream about that. You know what? It's not the government's job to educate your children, our children, my children. It's not their job. It's our job. However, we need help, don't we? And it's good for the society that our children are educated with the values of our culture and the values of our land, the law of our land. So it is incumbent on the society then to chip in and get schools for those children who will be left without it. It turns out that as I looked, that $9,500 or more being spent on every child in this area for their education. As I said, we were doing our kids, all four of them, for about $1,200 a year. And my wife was doing 99% of the training. I think Dad did the training by being observed. My training was all by sign language. Right. They observed my conduct and they picked up some characteristics. But she was the one every day that get up, make sure they make their bed, they brush their teeth, they get all ready, they do their chores and they clean the cat box, do whatever you're going to do. And then you get together, you get in the kitchen, you sit down. The first thing they did is they'd open up the Bible and read and discuss it as they went. Even the Song of Solomon. Oy vey. All right. So, and they would get to really difficult things and they would discuss it and they would get these difficult things where the guy wanted to be assaulted by all these people, these Benjamites. So they assaulted his slave girl and then the guy cut her up into 12 pieces and sent her parts out throughout the children of Israel to come attack the Benjamites. I mean, that's really crazy stuff. I mean, it really happened, but your kids are actually very carefully being taken through very difficult things in the history of mankind and being taught values that are right, that what was right about this, what was wrong, and what does the Word of God say about this? So that's the first thing. And if we can teach our children to read, they can teach themselves. It turns out that the Amish were protected. They'd have to basically teach their kids up to about the eighth grade. And you know what? At that point, that's all they really need to give them. I mean, I'm operating on an eighth grade education. Let's admit it, because I goofed off from ninth through 12th. I didn't really finish high school. But ever since then, you know what I've been doing? I've been learning geology and physics and law. And I've been teaching myself these things because I can read. I've got a young man in the other room right now. He's in doing school. He'll be taking off to public school by 1 o'clock. But he's in the other room and he has just this year taken up reading. His vocabulary is just exploding. He wants to be a brain surgeon. He's reading for fun medical books. And you know what happened? He came first. His life got right with God just this summer. His life got right with God, changed his brain, suddenly has a passion for education. So what is, you know, even the very fact, if you look at the Bible, it talks to you about education. It says, fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now that's, if you exclude that, value from our schools, your kids don't understand. Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I use this young man who's in my kitchen right now as an example. When he got a fear of the Lord, you know what he got? A hunger for knowledge. So here, this, I think it's Proverbs 1:7. Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. When you go to a public school, I've seen some young people being taught to despise wisdom and instruction because they are not getting the first prong of this, fear of the Lord. You go on in Proverbs, it says, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There's another thing that's one of my favorite verses. It says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. So if our next generation, you think they're doing good right now, but you see the mayhem creeping in across the border from this, from different worldviews, okay, let's admit I was raised in California. The California mindset is coming to you. You know what I mean? It's creeping along. It's like the blob, and it's creeping along. Oh, by the way, one of my relatives did all the scary music in the blob. A little trivia. Okay, so we actually interviewed him on this radio program. But fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Our next generation's not going to understand anything unless we right now make a stopgap, build the dam, do something. It is our generation's time to do it right here under this Nuga Radio audience. So this law review that I was reading, you know, it's talking about chaplains, and I'm thinking, well, the practicality of chaplains, as far as we've gone, it would just blow people's minds. They really wouldn't know what to do with it. But then it occurred to me that the voucher concept, if we would actually, if some of these schools and school systems would read some of the things the Supreme Court has said and some of the Supreme Courts in the various states, they'd realize that it's okay to take tax money and say, okay, parents, we're going to give you this much money to make sure your kid is educated. You are responsible for doing it. But we're teaming up. We've realized that there's enough people that need public school that we're just going to make this open to everybody. And we're going to let you choose what you're going to support. And let's say just what if even, and I'm even thinking some of these guys in Cleveland, there's like a theological school over in Cleveland, right? I'm not going to tell you the denomination, but there's this big school and they got all these students. They got a religious community, a Christian community. What if they taught their churches and affiliation to take it upon themselves to make it their duty to actually teach their congregation's children? 70% of the people are going to church. What if we had it the duty of the church to actually educate the children in science, in physics, like Isaac Newton knew it? You know what I mean? And quantum physics and history and the Bible, and to read and use the Bible as a way to learn to read. They could learn English. Their vocabulary would explode. Imagine the amount of, let's say, brain power that would be working out of this Nuger Radio area. It'd be mind-blowing. In the olden days, as I was doing some research, I found out that who was actually teaching? Well, who was providing the education way back when, the beginning of the country? It was clergymen. Because they were educated, they could teach Bible on Sundays, but during the week, you know, when they're twiddling them, their thumbs or whatever like that, they're the guys that are equipped to actually teach the next generation. And they were well-equipped, and they were men, and they had conquered testosterone in them and a biblical worldview. So what if we in this area said, hey, legislature, cough up some of that just cough up $4,500 per child. We're going to save the state budget $1 billion and the local budget $1 billion. And we're going to have people teaching at a, let's say, a higher standard, with the goal first, as I look at this, what we've been doing in the broadcast area. When I checked again, I checked Walker County, Dade County, Jackson County, that was Georgia, Alabama, and then for Tennessee, Hamilton County. And if you look at that, more than 50% aren't meeting the minimum grade expectation and requirement for language arts skills. That just, the whole educational system is in total catastrophe when they get to 8th grade or 12th grade and they're doing that badly. Now, when I check the 3rd grade level, 3rd grade wasn't too bad. It was bad, but it wasn't as bad as it was later. So these guys, our kids in these areas, for the most part, our society has not been educated, but money is being spent. So it's something that we need to do. I'm bringing it today because I think it's an important thing, and I would be remiss in providing that information to you and that encouragement. What could you do? Think about it. What could you do to improve schooling? And what can you tell your state legislature about vouchers and taking tax money and advancing a particular religion, but I'll tell you what, you don't advance religion, your society is sunk. Your education is sunk. And I say religion, the duty that we owe the Creator, that is what the United States Supreme Court, that's how they define what religion is in law and government. The duty we owe the Creator. So if we don't inculcate the duty we owe of religion, everything else there's no foundation for anything. You know, I was seeing I think it's in Indonesia, and there it's kind of like was put in bad light, but the Indonesians are outlawing wicked things. They're outlawing, look at this back in the day, they're outlawing lewd and lascivious conduct. They're actually saying this is wrong thing to do, and they're making it a crime. Well, let's admit it. If we would go ahead and retain those laws against lewd and lascivious cohabitation and conduct, man with man, woman with woman, that is absolute, it's a crime against nature. If we'd go ahead and retain those laws, those standards, nobody's going to be kicking in anybody's bedroom door to see what they're doing in private. But you know what you do? when it comes out and becomes an offense in the public and is there to pervert your children, you've got some power to hold somebody accountable. They're doing it in Indonesia. Isn't that amazing? But what are we doing here? So thank you for listening. It was a little bit of a, it wasn't the most upbeat way to close off my show today on Preservative Talk Radio. You can go to Preservative Talk Radio and basically hear some of the shows I've done in the past. I really encourage you to go to theamericanview.com. Again, their first Friday, their live video talking about juries. And we're going to end up talking about juries and what the responsibility is for juries if we want to uphold our nation and keep this place safe for our next generation. So that's it. So I'm going to just hope you have a great day, great weekend. Tune in tomorrow. I'm not going to be here. If I'm not here, it's probably, and it's Nuga Radio, it's probably something even better than me and my Preservative Talk Radio. Again, go to AmericanView.com. And if any of you want to actually start these local, in your church, a class on constitutional, you know, the Institute on the Constitution's course on the Constitution, and the American view, the biblical worldview of applying government in your area, and tell it to your church members. They need to know. They want to know. They're waiting for somebody to tell them, and they don't necessarily want to hear it in every Sunday morning sermon, but it's something I will tell you from experience that people are hungry for it. They want to know the truth. And of course, we know Jesus said, if you abide my word, you will know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. David Allen Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio. We'll be back on Monday. Herb Titus on Tuesday. Tell your friends.